Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So chapter 10, canto 10, chapter 39, text number 19 through 21. Akrura's vision. This is a very nice chapter, actually, and I was so happy to be able to speak about this. So we can chant 19, 20 together, and then we go to 21. Shri Gopya Uchu Aho Vidhata Stavana Kvachitaya Samyoja Maitriya Pranayena Dehina Tams Chakritartham Vyunanskim Apartakam Vikriditam Teripakha Cheshtitam Yatha. The gopi said, O Providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied creatures together in friendship and love, and then, senselessly, separate them before they fulfill their desires. This whimsical play of yours is like a child's game. Yastvam pradarsya shitakuntalavritam mukunda vaktram sukapolamam nasam shukapanoda smitalesha sundaram karoshi paroksham asadu te kritam. Having shown us Mukunda's face, framed by dark locks and beautified by his fine cheeks, raised nose and gentle smiles, which eradicate all misery, you are now making that face invisible. This behavior of yours is not at all good. Wow. This is really nice because it gives so much description about details of Krishna's face. When Prabhupada was in Toronto buying a temple, first Prabhupada bought the Detroit temple, and then he went to Toronto. And similar to Detroit, the devotees had different buildings that they were considering. And one of them was this church. So Prabhupada decided to go there to do a site visit of the church. And while he's there with Uttama Shloka and other devotees visiting the church, there was a table, and on the table there was a book. And the cover of this book said, The Face of God. And Prabhupada told Uttama Shloka, tell them that we want to buy this book. So Uttama Shloka went to one of the priests, and the priest said, oh, you don't need to buy it, I can give it to you. So he took the book. Then, on the way back to the temple, Prabhupada told Uttama Shloka, read this book for me. So Uttama Shloka was reading the book, and they had no clue about the face of God. And Prabhupada said, they don't know anything about the face of God. But here in the Bhagavatam, it's very clear. It's saying, even how God's nose is, it's a raised nose. I remember when I was a child, I had a friend of mine, she had a raised, the nose is a little raised on the tip, It's different than, it's very unique. So it says here that he has raised nose and gentle smiles and dark locks. So, and is beautified by his fine cheeks. So it's a lot of information about somebody, I have a matrimonial site for years, and several devotees got married there. And every person that wants to join, I have to read everything to make sure that there's nothing strange. And I never saw anybody saying that I have a raised nose. And it is very interesting that it is here that mentioned it has a raised nose. So the next and last of the verses. Krura Tvam akrura samakeya sma naha chakshu hi datam harasi bata agya vat jena eka deshi akila sarga swasthavam tvadiyam adrakshma vayam madhudvisha krurastvam makruras samakhyaya smanash krurastvam akruras samakhyaya smanash chakshur hidatam harasi batagyavat chakshur hidatam harasi batagyavat Dinai kadeshi kila sarga saustavam. Dinai kadeshi kila sarga saustavam. Tvadiya madrakshma vayam madhudvisham. Tvadiya drakshasma vayam madhudvisham. Krurastvama krurasama kyayas manas. Chakshur hidatam harashi batagyavat. Datam harashi batagyavat. Ye naika deshi kila sarga soustavam. Ye kila sarga soustavam. Tvadiyam adrakshma vayam madhudvisha.
Tvadiyam adrakshma
vayam madhudvisha. Krurasvam akrurasama kyayasmanash Chakshur hidatam harashe batagyavat Enai kadeshe kila sarga shostavam Tvadiya madrakshma vayam madhudvisha Krurastvam akrurasama kyayasmanash Chakshur hidatam harashe batagyavat Yenai kadeshi kila sarva shostavam Tvadiya madrakshma vayam madhudvisha Mataji Krurasama krurasama kyayasmanash Chakshur hidatam harashe batagyavat Yenai kadeshe kila sarga shostavam Tvadiya madrakshma vayam madhudvisha
Anybody else?
Okay, so krura, cruel. Actually, I did a little research on this cruel. That's quite interesting. The word cruel is the same spelling in Portuguese, in English, in Spanish, and French. And in the following languages, it starts with the same K-R-U. And phonetically, you know, the sound C-R-U and K-R-U is the same. So the following languages starts with K-R-U. Czech, Maltese, Romanian, Slovak, and Slovenian. So that's 2, 4, 5. So in 9 languages, the phonetic is the same, cru. Or cruel. So tuam, you are. Akrura samakeya. by the name Akrura,
by the name Akrura,
which means not cruel. Shma, certainly. Naha,
our.
Chakshu,
eyes.
He,
indeed.
Datam,
given.
Harashi,
you are
taking.
Bata,
alas.
Agya,
a fool.
Vat,
just like.
Jena,
with which eyes?
Eka,
in one.
Deshe,
place.
Akila,
of all.
Sarga,
the creation.
Saushtavam,
the perfection.
Tvadiyam,
your.
Adrakshma,
have seen.
Vayam,
we.
Madhudvisha,
of Lord Krishna,
enemy of the demon Madhu.
Translation. O Providence, though you come here with the name Akrura, you are indeed cruel, for like a fool, you are taking away what you once gave us, those eyes with which we have seen, even in one feature of Lord Madhudvisha's form, the perfection of the entire creation. Please repeat. O Providence,
though you come here with the name Akrura,
you are indeed cruel.
For like a fool,
you are taking away
what you once gave us,
those eyes with which we have seen,
even in one feature of Lord Madhudvisha's form,
the perfection of the entire creation.
Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
The gopis did not care to see anything but Krishna. Therefore, if Krishna left Vrindavan, their eyes would have no function. Thus, Krishna's departure was blinding these poor girls, and in their distress, they berated Akrura, whose name means not cruel, as cruel indeed.
Very cruel. Very cruel.
So I would like to recap a little bit of this chapter, just to put something into perspective here, that you know, Krishna is leaving and the gopis are lamenting and saying that the Akrura is cruel. So I would like just to do a quick recap. So Kansa, he had ordered Akrura to go to Vrindavan. And that was on the Ekadashi day of a dark fortnight of the month of Phalguna. So I calculated that. That it's most likely the Ekadashi that we had on February 25th, Vijaya Ekadashi. So it was actually during this time of the year that this pastime happened. That the Akrura left Mathura and went to Vrindavan. And Kansa gave him specific orders that he was supposed to arrive in Vrindavan by the evening. You know, Kansa is a politician. So there is a whole plan behind it. Kansa had failed to kill Krishna in his previous attempts. You know, like when an army attacks another country and they fail, and then they have to come with a new strategic move. They have to plan, and when we do this and when we do that, we attack at night, we attack in the morning, from south, from north. So Kansa had everything planned. He said, this time things won't fail. First of all, he sends Akrura, which is Krishna's uncle. Then he sends the most beautiful chariot and horses, because they're boys. And boys, they'll see a beautiful, no, that was the limousine of the day. So they'll be, this is super. We're going to have this ride. And then he says, but you arrive in the evening. And after he spent the night in Mathura, next morning, Akrura leaves for Vrindavan. Now, Vrindavan to Mathura is only 7.5 miles. It's shorter than going to Gainesville, and depending on where you go in Mathura and depending on where you go in Vrindavan. So it's not a very long ride. So Akrura had to make this ride really long to get there by the evening. No, I don't know, maybe he stopped for coconut water, I'm not sure. It doesn't give any description there. know, but it looks like he made it a long trip, because the order is, you get there by evening, specific order, you know. And then, when he arrives in the evening, he offers dandavats. Now, although he's the uncle, no, he offers dandavats to Krishna and to Balaram. And he is embraced by Krishna. And Krishna brings him close to him with his hand, and the hand that has the chakra mark, no, the chariot wheel. And the acharyas comment that he did this to tell Akrura that I am capable of killing Kansa. That was the meaning of that, pulling him with that hand and embracing him. I'm capable of killing Kansa. However, this was not, there's no mention before that Kansa had organized this festival. This was somewhat, from my understanding of the whole situation and reading everything, this was a last minute notice, so much so that Krishna is going to ask, why did you come here? So it was an unknown, part of the political plan, you know. So then he is offered a couch, a first class seat to sit. And then Balarama bathes his feet and respectfully serve him milk with honey, which is a nice thing. So this we are learning some good manners here. And then Balaram presents the gift of a cow. And Balaram massages his feet and fed him nice food stuff. You know? And the acharyas comment that he actually that was a fasting day, was supposed to be a fasting day, but accepting food from the Lord was a higher principle than fasting. So Akrura was happy to accept food from the Lord's. And then Balaram offered him aromatic herbs for sweetening his mouth. I remember Chaturatma gave this lecture here on this verse. And then Nanda Maharaj says that Akrura is like a sheep under the care of a butcher, Kansa. So the talk was very kind of open. It was not like a sweet talk. Oh, how is everything? And it's everything is so wonderful. They do ask questions, but they're very direct also, so much so that Nanda Maharaj says, you are like a sheep living under a butcher. So, and after the evening meal, no, they have an evening meal. He arrived in the evening, because that was Kansa's order. So then they had all this ceremony. This takes time. This doesn't happen in a minute. It's elaborate. And in this culture, people are not in a hurry like in today's culture. So there was bathing of the feet, there was talking, there was massaging of the feet, there was milk with honey. No, this time is passing. And then there is dinner. And dinner, it took time. We had a nice dinner. So then at that point, after the evening meal, Krishna asks Akrura. So after all this is done, it could be 2-3 hours. He asks him that how Kansa was treating their dear relatives and what the king was planning to do. So this reveals that until now, they don't know what's going on. What is the meaning of your visit? What is the king going to do? And then at that point, Akrura reveals the king's intention. There's this big festival going on. This is quite interesting, Kansa's behavior, because it's very much of a political behavior that you don't give all the information, you give some of the information. And if you study modern politicians, there was a famous politician, Henry Kissinger. He was the Secretary of State for President Nixon. And then when Nixon left, he continued as President, Secretary of State for the next president. And he won the Nobel Prize in 1973 because he was able to negotiate peace between the U.S. and Vietnam and also bring all the troops home. So he was a big shot. And one of his techniques was that because Nixon was very impulsive, so while Kissinger was there negotiating with them, he had to keep Nixon informed. But if he gave all the information to Nixon, he was afraid that Nixon is going to mess the whole thing up. And we're going to make no progress in this negotiation. So in those days, there was no email or Facebook. So he would send telegrams to Nixon saying that negotiations are going well. too complex to explain. In this way, nobody could say that he didn't keep him informed. He kept him informed, but just enough so he wouldn't cause trouble. So you can see the counselor's intent here is very much the same. He wants to tell everybody, oh, you're coming here, but it's just enough. And just enough time for you to come without preparing anything so we can kill you. So he arrived in the evening. And it's an order, actually. It says somewhere, first of all, Akrura answered Krishna's questions because Krishna prompted him. You know? The Lord, Prishta Bhagavata, the Lord requested Akrura, please tell me more. And Ragya Dishtam was an order from Kansa, was an invitation, but was also an order that you come. And when the king calls, you have to come immediately. It's not that you say, well, we have homework to do, we'll come next week. It doesn't work like that. Especially with a king like Kansa. If you do something like this, what can happen? Next day your wife is hanging on a tree, you know, or somebody's decapitated. Anything can happen with Kansa. Anything is expected. Now, when the king, an invitation from the king is an order. Actually, yesterday was the Lord Ramachandra's appearance day. It's interesting. I just want to say something about this. We have that pastime that Kaikeyi had all that drama and had to force King Dasharatha to give his boon to her. And at that moment, he is in her quarters and she is telling him, now you call Rama and tell him that he's going to the forest for 14 years. And the king could not do it. So she told the guards, you call Ram. The king wants to see him. And Ram came immediately. And King Dasharath could not tell him. He was trying, he could not tell him. Kaikeyi had to tell. And Kaikeyi said, your father wants to tell you something, but is afraid that you are not going to accept it. So I'm going to tell him. So she told him everything. And then what Ram said, Mother, you could have told me this, that this is your desire, and I would immediately accept it. You didn't have to do this to my father. I would immediately give up everything and go to the forest, just by your request. And she's the queen. Just by the request of the queen, he was ready to go to the forest. So you see the power of the king on those days. The king was very powerful. So a request from the king was an order. You've got to come. So they arrived, Akrura arrived in the evening. And they only had a little time to get ready and leave the next day morning. Because the king cannot wait. No time for preparations. No time for tricks of any kind. So Kansa had everything planned out. So now for the gopis, this was a big shock. Because it's explained in the Bhagavatam that after this dinner and this private conversation, and understand one thing, that when Akrura said that the king now is calling you for this festival, and when Nanda Maharaj said that now he's a butcher, you know, and Krishna said he's the disease of the family, so they're glorifying Kansa in every single possible way, you know. But this was a private conversation. It's like a family meeting. They were not like on Facebook talking about this, you know? So it's important to notice that. You know, sometimes devotees can have comments like this about somebody else privately, you know? But they don't go publicly, start talking to everybody, so-and-so this, so-and-so. That's not our philosophy. Prabhupada didn't like that. Didn't like that. So much so that when Madhudvisha, and taking advantage that is mentioned the name Madhudvisha here, when Madhudvisha fell down, and Tamal Krishna called all the temples and informed them, when Prabhupada heard, he called Tamal Krishna and said, why did you do this? You cannot do this. Now he's never going to come back because of your behavior, because you're doing this. Prabhupada didn't like this. He wanted things to be treated in a little more mindful way, with a little more heart. You know? So, for the gopis, now they're leaving tomorrow morning, they heard this late at night,
after massaging the feet, at giving hot milk with honey, and after the talks and after the dinner, then Krishna and Balaram tell their father, oh, this is the plan that we have to go. There's this big festival. Then Nanda Maharaj tells the chief of police, Prabhupada translates as the chief of police in the Krishna book. In the Bhagavatam, it's translated as the constable. It's the same thing, the chief of police. So then, tell everybody that we are going to this festival in Mathura and get all the wagons ready and get all the milk products and ghee and sweets so we can take as gifts and tax payment to King Kansa. And even knowing all this, you see, the culture is such that even knowing all this, they are preparing all nice gifts for King Kansa. And they're leaving tomorrow early in the morning. You know, and trips like this usually were done early in the morning because, you know, you were going with bullock carts and it gets really hot in the middle of the day and you have to stop and take a nap. You know, it's a whole different culture. I remember in Novogokula, when I was living there and I was managing the farm, I was also a coward boy and I used to take care of the cows, and we even had to change the clock. So our clock was 2 hours ahead. So we finished all the morning program and then we were 2 hours ahead. So when the employees came, it was 7 o'clock for them. For us it was already 9 o'clock. But it was nice because we could start early. And then in the middle of the day we would stop because of the sun. And then in the afternoon we would again go to the field and plow the land. And I did all of that. I used to dream with the bulls actually, because plowing the land with the bulls. So they left early in the morning and or are about to leave. And now the gopis are completely destroyed. They either heard this news last night, late at night, or early this morning. So it was shocking. And I would like to compare this with the current event, because it's very much, I think it's a good comparison. Sometimes Prabhupada used material examples just to make a spiritual point. March 8th, there was this flight from Malaysian Airlines, flight 37, MH370, that left Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia with destination to Beijing in China. And this flight left around midnight. You know, like any flight, you know, relatives go to the airport and sometimes they cry and, you know, have a safe trip and God bless you and God protect you. And when you get there, make sure you call us or you send a text message or you send an email and, you know, keep in touch and I hope to see you back soon. And there's that whole, you know, atmosphere, you know, and I'm, you know, everybody is hoping that they will see their mother again and their father or their wife or their children. They're hoping they're flying there, but they will see them again. But what happened is this flight disappeared. After a short while, the flight completely vanished. And until today, they can't find their plane. They can't find anything. You know? So in the next day, everybody saw in the newspapers that this flight disappeared. And these folks, they were heartbroken. But they had some hope that the flight will appear somewhere. It was probably hijacked. It's somewhere in Afghanistan, in the mountains, or this hidden somewhere in the bushes. Now, and somebody will come and ask for $1 million or $10 million, and everything will be solved. You know, but day after day, and nothing happens. No news. And finally, through some mathematical calculations based on satellite information, they came to the conclusion that we concluded beyond reasonable doubt that everybody, there are no survivors, and they communicated to the family by text message. Gee, that's really cold, isn't it? That's, when I heard this, I said, wow, these guys have no heart, you know? And the reaction of the family, it's amazing to read, you know? We can relate to the reaction of the gopis here. Some completely fell unconscious and had to be taken to the hospital. Others became angry. And they were, you know, many were at a specific place assembled, and the news were there, and it shows a video of them. kicking the policeman, and they got so angry they lost control, you know. Others were attempting to commit suicide, you know. They couldn't handle it. And these are not no foolish people. They're probably in their life, they're sober people and they're professionals. But in a situation like this, they just lost it. They lost it completely. So we can see the feeling of the gopis here. Now, when they realize that Krishna is leaving, and they had a big concern because this is the first time that Krishna goes to the big city, you know? It's like, you know, you're going from Alatra and then for the first time you're going to New York City, you know? So it's a big city, and they're thinking, well, when he sees the sophisticated women of Mathura and we are like simple girls here from the village, he's never coming back here. Never going to come back. Forget it. It's over. He's leaving now and it's over. Our relationship, those Rasa dance nights, no, and him talking to us and playing his flute, that is completely over. We got to do something. And they were planning to do something. And they were shy girls, chaste girls. No, they would not speak loudly, or suddenly they start talking loudly. Yeah. So it's a very dramatic situation. Plan from Kansa, arriving late at night, a crew, leaving early in the morning, no chance to do anything. The girls here at the last moment, Krishna is leaving. And then they see the chariot, and they see all the bullock carts, and it appears to me that they were not allowed to go, because there's no mention that the women went, or perhaps only the married women went, and the single women did not go. I don't understand, I don't know. It's not enough information. But this is the situation. So I think there's something that we can learn from this story. Recently we had the passing of Mother Indrani. I don't know if you went to the hospital. I went to the hospital. So the passing means that I won't see Mother Indrani again. Perhaps if I go to the spiritual world, which is a very remote possibility, I will meet Mother Indrani there. But I was a very good friend of Mother Indrani. Number one, because her computer broke down often. So, and she called me, you know. And I told her from the very first time when I came here, and the very first time she called me, she on those days she was going through some therapy. And I offered to go to take her to the hospital on a regular basis for the therapy at the North Florida Regional Hospital. Yeah. And so I had the chance to develop some relationship with her, to go to her apartment and hold her by the arm and take her to the car and help her and take her for physical therapy and wait there and see how she dealt with everybody. She was friendly with everybody, and then coming back and then helping her again, and 2-3 days after doing again. So we developed some friendship, and I thought also that she could be a person that I could review my mind. I trusted her. So I had meetings with her, I reviewed my mind, my difficulties. And she was a very sober, very smart, very intelligent woman. I really appreciated her, and a lot of experience in life. So, and I told her, if anything happens to you, you call me any time of the day or the night. And one day something happened. And I rushed so fast to her place that I got there before the ambulance. When I got there and I parked, the ambulance is coming, and I'm telling them, it's here, it's here. And I had this mood of, you know, I had the desire to help her. So when I heard that she passed away, I felt really shocked. I felt, no, we know everybody's going to pass. But when they pass away, you feel bad. So I felt bad. So I went to the hospital when she had that stroke. I went to the hospital to see her. And I offered my obeisances and my prayers. But I felt, and I still feel, that I wish she could be here. And when my father passed away also, I heard at night, and I whole night I was crying. I could not sleep, and I didn't have to cry. Just tears came rolling down without any effort. So I was sleeping, and the whole bed sheet got wet. So this separation from a loved one is very difficult. Unless you have a stone heart, it's very difficult. And for the gopis, Krishna, as it's explained on the purport, They did not care to see anything but Krishna. Therefore, if Krishna left Vrindavan, their eyes would have no function. They had no desires to do anything else. And besides that, they had gone through so much sacrifice to be with Krishna. Leaving their homes, their parents trying to block the door with sticks, was such a traumatic situation, just to go to the forest late at night, you know, breaking all the principles of good conduct. And now that's how Krishna pays it, just lives and goes to Mathura and it's over, he's never coming back again. So that you can feel the, you know, the pain in the heart. And they were young girls. You know, they were not old and experienced women that got divorced 5 times like Elizabeth Taylor, you know? And if the man left one more time, so okay, so what? There's so many men all over the place, you know? No, that wasn't the feeling, you know? They were young girls, very innocent, very pure, you know? Or actually completely transcendental, but talking in, you know, casual terms. And this was like, this was destruction. And I remember when I was a kid going to elementary school, I fell in love with one girl. And when the elementary, you know, I never even spoke to her. I just looked at her. I was like 7 years old. And I bought one chocolate and gave to her. That was the whole relationship. But when the school term ended, I was like traumatized. Oh, okay, I'm not going to see her again. This is horrible. This is so painful. You know, my mother was asking, what happened to you? I could not tell her. I felt shy. You know? Oh, it's some headache. You know, so they are very tender heart girls. You know, and now they're suffering this tremendous pain. Now, this is the pure love for Krishna, the Supreme Lord. I think it's time for me to end here. If you'd like to make some comment or ask a question.
The first part, when you said that Krua means cruel in many languages. I was also doing a little research, and it seems most of the language of the world actually has some Sanskrit origin. Like you have Indo-European language, you have Indo-Russian, Indo-Arabic, so much, you know, most of the languages actually have some origin in Sanskrit. At this point, I don't know if
it could be. Yeah, there are similarities. Any other comments? Yeah, some devotees sometimes they take and they do analysis of language. I've seen they did in Brazil, and I think they did in Lithuania as well. They found many similarities.
I just wanted to say I really appreciated your example of the airplane and comparing it with. It helped me to at least to relate to the emotions. So I just want to thank you for giving that example.
Actually, I was thinking that if my son was on that plane, I don't know how I would react. I was thinking about this, you know? I hope my son is never in a plane like this. But I don't know how I would react. One time I lost my son in a store. You know, I'm a single father, and since he was like almost 5 years old. So one time, I lost him in a store. And I started panicking, you know. Because I was in New York, no big place. And I was looking, and seconds were, no, seconds were, seemed like were hours, you know. And one more second, I didn't find him, and one more second, I didn't find him. And I was going nuts.
And finally, he was hiding behind some dress there. It was nothing serious, you know. Oh, I like very much the story that Shesha Prabhu told us about Birbal. And I have a question. Is Birbal and Gopala Bam the same, or they're different personages?
Gopala Bam is from Bengal. Birbal's in North India. So they're different.
They're different. They're
the same kind of persons, but I think Gopal Bam is in the West Bengal side, or the Bengal side.
Because at one time I was reading lots of stories. I'm just going to tell this story. It's a really funny and nice story that the king always tried to give some hard time to Gopal Bam. So he told the barber, you know, I want you to do something really bad to hurt Gopal Bam. You know, I said, that's okay, don't worry. You know, so the king got some of his, the barber, because the barber was the king's barber and all the important people in the kingdom would use the same barber. So he got some important, influential people and went to the king, and they called Gopal Bam with them. Said, King, everything is going well in your kingdom, but there is one thing that you are not taking care of. He said, what is it? Your ancestors. You don't know how they're doing there in heaven. So you need to send somebody there to know how they're doing. And there's no better person to do this than Gopal Bam. Huh. That's a very good idea. So we should make like a sacrificial fire. We burn Gopal Bam. He goes to heaven. He's going to find out how your ancestors are doing. So what do you think of him? Ah, Gopal Bam said, that's a very good idea. I am in agreement. I just have one request. Oh, what is it? I want this sacrificial fire right on my backyard. And I need a week just to tell my friends and family. But you can build the sacrificial fire. So they built all the wood. And he made the tunnel from the sacrificial fire to his house. He's a very smart guy. So they put him there and they burned and he escaped. You know, and he left his beard grow and mustache for several months. And then one day he appears in the kingdom and he goes to see the king. And everybody comes, the barber, everybody comes. Oh, Gopal Bam, you are back. Yes, yes. How are my ancestors? Oh, they're doing very well. They're doing very well. They told me to send their greetings to you. There's only one thing they're missing. What is it? Oh, they're missing a barber. So you need to send your barber that they give. These stories are so nice. I love them. Another one also, the king told Gopal Bam, Gopal Bam, you are fool. So he came very close to the king. He said, no, king, there is a difference between me and a fool. What's the difference? Three fingers. You get it? Maybe there's some... Arriba, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.